Good morning, and thank you so much, Mr. Matapo. Welcome to everyone who's here, to my fellow chairpersons of other portfolio committee in the NCOP and the NA, my team in the office, which is here, and all stakeholders and media houses present here. As the chair would have indicated, my name is Kgomotso Anthea Ramolobeng, the Portfolio Committee Chair on Correctional Services. I want to begin my session with a review on the Correctional Service Act 111 of 1998. The committee is pleased that the Department of Correctional Service will be reviewing the Correctional Services Act of 111 of 1998. This will also enable the committee to provide inputs on areas that it believes it should be amended and strengthened, including Section 73 of the Act, which deals with the management of foreign national inmates in our facilities. We heard during the budget debate when the minister indicated that there were around 24,000 foreign national. In actual fact, there are around 25,585, which we have received an updated stats on this. The stat was updated on the 30th of June by the Office of the National Commissioner in our correctional facilities across the country, which costs the state a day 11 million. The committee is seriously concerned that our correctional facilities have so many foreign nationals, but our country, I'll allow you to finish, Mr. Matapo. Please don't eat on my time. Thank you. The committee is, however, seriously concerned that our correctional facilities have so many foreign nationals across the country, but our country has not either also entered into an inmate exchange program with other countries to see how do we mitigate this challenge that we have of foreign nationals in our facilities. We intend to review this provision specifically as it relates to incarceration of foreign nationals. We want to provide for foreign nationals serving life sentences to serve their sentences in their countries of origin, because we have around 13,444 who are sentenced foreign nationals, and we have around 12,145 which are remand detainees. So the 13,444, we should enter into an exchange program with their countries so that they can serve those life sentences in their country where they come from. We also do encourage the minister to consult further with the Minister of Home Affairs with this matter to deepen their relation, and also whilst we enter into the review process of the Correctional Service Act, especially the Section 73, subsection 1 and 2, which speaks to the length of the sentence and the form of the sentence, to allow the department to be able to enter into the deportation processes with Home Affairs to send foreign nationals to serve their sentences in their countries. And this has been one of the key discussions of the Portfolio Committee. I think some of you were here when we had the press briefing in January, and this was amongst the key identified focal points of the Portfolio Committee that it would have recommended to the department that we should amend Section 73 of the Correctional Service Act. So we are pleased that the department, when it appeared before the Portfolio Committee, when they presented their APP and budget for 2025-2026, they did say they would enter into amending the whole component of the Correctional Service Act, which means community, civil societies, the portfolio committee would have an input to this section. So for us, we are highly, highly pleased that the department has adhered to the call of the portfolio committee in this matter. On the issue of remand detainees with bail as less than 1,000 rand to an extent of less than 300 rands, the Department of Correctional Services has a total of 162,954 inmates across all correctional facilities. And this is an updated stats, as I indicated, from the 30th of June. that was sent to us as the portfolio committee, of which 105,023 are sentenced inmates, 57,603 are remand detainees. Remand detainees are the biggest contributor to overcrowding in correctional centers. We are concerned about the staggering cost of keeping and maintaining remand detainees in our correctional facilities, which currently cost the department around 470 and 480 a day to house an inmate or a remand detainee, which is around a day, a month, about 13,000 for each detainee. Taking into consideration the pressing issues of overcrowding in our correctional facilities, many remand detainees are in centers for months and years simply because they cannot afford to pay bail, as little as I indicated. And the casing point study would be your Polesmoor Correctional Facility, which I think some of the media houses were with us when we did the oversight, where we had around 500 inmates who had bails of less than 300 rands or 500 rands, but have been sitting in correctional facilities for months without being able to pay for that bail. We cannot have a system that further perpetuates the injustices that our constitutional democracy so desperately tries to correct. Now, there are two legislative provisions that in theory are supposed to assist in managing overcrowding in correctional facilities, but in reality, they are producing very minimal results. And those provisions are outlined in the Section 63A of the Criminal Procedure Act and the Section 49G of the Correctional Services Act. The department's annual report for the 2023-2024 financial year records that it submitted a total of 19,391 referrals to court under the Section 63A, but only 5,091 of these were successful. And 9,667 applications were referred to the courts under Section 49G, and this yielded a tiny success rate of 3% being successful. We call on the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, as well as other key stakeholders in the criminal justice system, to take seriously its relationship with the Department of Correctional Services, because of most of these challenges do not emanate from the department itself, which is the correctional service, not delivering to its mandate. So it is a justice cluster issue. Regarding on infrastructure and maintenance in correctional facilities, this mission of the Department of Correctional, the mission of the Department of Correctional Services is to contribute to a just, peaceful, and safer South Africa through effective and human incarceration of inmates and the rehabilitation and social reintegration of offenders. This mission can only be achieved by accommodating offenders in detention conditions that are consistent with human rights or human dignity. But due to aging, lack of maintenance, overcrowding, and vandalism by inmates, the infrastructure and bulk services have experienced fatigue in many of correctional centers across the country. Some of these facilities require day-to-day maintenance, whilst others require a major R&R upgrades or repairs. The committee has raised concerns about the state of correctional facilities during oversight visits to these facilities, particularly regarding the maintenance of infrastructure by the Department of Public Works and infrastructure on conditions of kitchens that we have engaged on where we've done oversights. DCS has informed the committee, the department has informed the committee that Public Works has devolved maintenance of infrastructure to the department. However, this is done without proportional budget allocation to DCS. DCS has informed the department that a total of 8 billion was processed and paid to the Department of Public Works under the auspices of user charges allocation in the 2024-2025 financial year. The committee has since resolved to request that the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure appear before the committee, the portfolio committee, on the 15th of July to clarify this matter and look at other infrastructure challenges faced by the department. And we're pleased that the Minister of Public Works has agreed to come before the portfolio committee. So next week on Tuesday, we would be meeting with a delegation led by the minister and the department to come and speak to infrastructural issues that the Department of Correctional Services faces. The department currently provides food for inmate and correctional facilities using their own kitchens and using offender labor. I think we all know or aware that cooking in correctional facilities is done by inmates. During our oversight visit to correctional facilities across the country or provinces, the committee raised concerns about the state of kitchen facilities in some of the centers we have visited. The committee was particularly concerned about the general state of the kitchen in Medium A in Durban Westville Correctional Facility, where almost half of the equipment was not working. We have then recommended to the Department of Correctional Services that the kitchen in Durban Westville and Medium A must be temporarily closed to make certain arrangements to repair and renovate. And we're pleased to announce that the department has adhered to that, and the kitchen, it is temporarily closed up until all major repairs and renovations are alluded to. Last year, we also noted that the department temporarily closed kitchens in Modape due to non-compliance and the state of the kitchen that it was in. And we were told in March, when the department appeared before the portfolio committee, that the kitchen, it's now fully functional, which, as the portfolio committee, were taking addition that amongst those who stay in Gauteng, they would do an unannounced visit to check the state of that kitchen since it has resumed operations in March. We have recommended to the department that it explore self-sufficient means for immediate infrastructural repairs and make use of offender labor where appropriate under the skills development curriculum. We call on the Department of Public Works, as the custodian of all government buildings, to take seriously its mandate to repair, refurbish, and maintain critical infrastructural issues that relates to all correctional facilities. And this speaks to the overall total of 243 correctional facilities across the country. On financial management and expenditure control, the Department of Correctional Services has been allocated a budget of 29.2 billion for the current financial year, and this amount is expected to increase to 32 billion in the next 2027-2028 financial year. The committee was also concerned with the projected 1.4 billion overspending in the third quarter of the 2024-2025 financial year. The committee has urged the department to tighten its belt and implement measures to cap expenditure, including placing more emphasis on a self-sufficient and sustainability model and using offender labor to cut costs. The committee also has noted underfunding, particularly in the capital budget, which impacts infrastructure upgrades and maintenance, as well as budget constraints in the information technology branch. Another concern of the committee has been the cost of the department or the privately run correctional centers and whether we have gotten value for money on those. We note the terms of the contracts for the two privately run prison facilities, being Mangaung in the Free State and Kutamas in Tumule in Limpopo, are set to expire in 2026 and 2027, respectively. We welcome the department's decision to take over the two privately run facilities. We must reiterate, though, that the provision of law and order is a key function of any government, and this duty should not be delegated to a private sector. The success of any correctional facility should be judged by its ability to rehabilitate offenders and reduce recidivism rates. So far, private prisons have failed to demonstrate that they are cost-effective, innovative. They are cost-effective, innovative, or produce better results for the rates of recidivism. Although privatization is recognized by legislation, the issue of private-public partnerships, which are triple P's facilities, remain deeply controversial and requires us to look into the affordability, value for money, and risk allocation for such contracts. If we do not act swiftly in terms of our state of readiness to take over privately run facilities, we risk privatization continuing to consume significant public funds, without delivering measurable outcomes and public correctional facilities. In the interest of transparency, accountability, and improved oversight, we look forward to this contract reaching the end of their term, subsequently 2026 and 2027. The last point, which is rehabilitation and social integration. Rehabilitation and social integration remain the core focus of the Department of Correctional Services for the current financial year. Rehabilitation and social reintegration received 2.2 billion, which is 8% of the budget, and 1.2 billion, which is 4%, respectively. The committee has urged the department to ensure that the allocation of these two programs improves. The committee will continue to scrutinize the effectiveness of educational, vocational, and therapeutic programs, including the success rate of inmate reintegration into society and the reduction in recidivism rate. The annual performance plan for 2025-2026 highlights how the department will promote rehabilitation programs by providing long-term occupational skills programs to 90% of offenders who qualify and offering general education and training to 90% of those who are qualifying offenders amongst those initiatives. During a recent presentation on this matter, which was 2 weeks ago when the department appeared before the portfolio committee, we noted that inmates were not taking up this opportunity in large numbers to participate in programs. We urged the department to encourage stronger participation that would benefit both offenders and the department. A greater number of inmates participating in such programs in workshops or agricultural settings, developing skills that assist offenders when they are released from correctional facilities, making social reintegration a more smoother, and at the same time, it will save the department money as they strive for self-sufficiency. So, Mr. Matapo, that was my last, this was my presentation on observations that the portfolio committee has made to the department since we last appeared before stakeholders and media houses in January on the work that the portfolio committee has been doing. I thank you.